When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I feel like we're really just like the two most boring people of all time. I invested in education. You invested in a chair. We're literally, people are hoping that we're going to say that we like bought a small island off the coast of Tahiti. I bought a chair.
If you want to, I'm like, how many times? We could do some calculations. I feel like I buy a new sweatshirt every single time I go to Target. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Overshare, the podcast. I'm Lily here with Jocelyn, and it is, we're filming this like halfway through December.
It's still early December. I'm impressed that we're this far ahead.
I am too. I mean, look at us. Now we actually get a winter break for once.
It is kind of amazing. I don't even know what vacations are.
I was thinking, so I had this, I've been like perpetually anxious for, I'd say, the last 10 years. But I was on a walk the other day and I'd gotten a lot done. First of all, I've discovered if I ever am like not exercising at all, just like force me to get up, because that's like the one thing. If I start working out, that gives me more energy, and then I'll just like get some momentum and keep going.
Not to mention, I feel like people need to know you are incredibly athletic. Really are very, very athletic.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was talking to my friend the other day, and I was going to play basketball. We were going to shoot around because he has an empty gym.
Yeah, casual, because he trains NBA people. Big deal. Whatever, you know.
Yes. Well, so on my way, I was like, hey, do you want McDonald's? And he was like, oh, fuck. Like, you asked me 2 days ago, maybe. But like,
why? What's he doing now?
Apparently, he's like trying to get rich for New Year's. And I was like,
people still do that?
To spend it with your wife and children? Like, why?
This is okay. Not Cabo spring break. Okay.
But also, like, back up, he is like literally like a chiseled, like, he's someone that, actually one of the few like health people I know that is not always like particularly healthy and will eat Jack in the Box like every day for months.
Yeah.
But he said apparently he had eaten Jack in the Box every day for a month straight. And he was like, yeah, I started to notice a difference. Now I'm being healthy.
He said
after one day, he noticed a difference. So I was like, of course. Yeah, I'm an asshole and I'm the same. Like, I'll work out once and I'm like, oh, cool.
That is literally Chris to a T. He is the only living person I've talked to in COVID. Well, for the most part, who's like, I can't stop losing weight. I'm just like, you look like a mannequin. I'm really glad I get to benefit from this.
Yeah,
you can't share that information publicly.
Okay? I mean, I'll let you guys in on a little secret. I was going to announce it and then I was like, should I not?
Wait, do I know about this?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, so when I was playing basketball with my friend, we came to the decision, because I do eat almost exclusively fast food, and all the comments on my Vlogmas are like, you are unwell. Like, how are you alive? And I'm like, oh God, that's why I don't vlog, because then people will know my secrets. But we discussed how, because I was like, oh my God, yeah, me too. All of like an app after like one day of working out. And then I said, I'd be so curious to see my body after doing one of those like 30-day transformations.
Stop. Are you going to do it? You're going to be a fitness model. I already know you're in Victoria's Secret or in like Sports Illustrated. I already know it.
Well, I don't have any boobs. So maybe if I get some, then we can work on that. But not really.
Just work on the badonkadonk. You know, that can be like your centerpiece. You could show that off.
Never say that again.
Well, do people still say badonkadonk?
I don't. Did they ever really, unironically?
No, I don't think so. Anyways, continue. Sorry.
No white people did. So I said that, and then he was like, oh my God, well, we should do it. I could train you every day for 30 days. And I was like, could you though? Like, that feels like that's a lot. So we decided on 21 days, because 21 is like how many days to build a habit, correct?
Right. Yeah.
So he apparently has a meal prep chef that he has like on call for his clients. And
are you going to start mixing in fruits and vegetables?
Well, so here's the thing. So I've texted like my mom and told her, and she was like, you don't need to lose weight. What do you mean diet transformation? And I'm like, I'm not meaning diet transformation or working out to lose weight. I'm meaning just to be healthy and then hopefully see if it has an effect on my back because that's, and my skin, because that's like the number one thing is everyone's like, if you just fixed your diet, everything would be fine. And
I think this is going to be a game changer for you. Yeah. And you're actually going to gain a lot of muscle, I think.
We will see. So we're probably going to do it in January, I think. And
Oh my gosh, I want to come if it's socially distanced. Please let me join for a session.
Yeah.
Outdoors, obviously. Of course. Wow. Okay. Well, we've gotten so ahead of ourselves. We need to jump into the show. Let's do Over It.
So Over It.
What she said.
Okay, Lil, I'm actually very excited that you had such fun, positive news to lead us in with the show.
So I can follow it up with some negatives.
Yeah, what sort of shitty situation do you have yourself in?
You're so punny, Jocelyn. She is referring to what I'm over today, which is people that don't pick up their dog's shit. Are you kidding? I don't even understand the logic behind it because, like, aren't you worried you're going to step in it? Like, unless you are mixing up your walk routes every single day, never take the same dog walk twice. But I apparently today I stepped in it at some point. I went on a walk. I feel like usually you notice right away, but it's also, those are new shoes too.
It could have been really old poop. That's like,
no, that's the crusty problem. It wasn't. So then at some point, I don't know how, but it got on my couch and I didn't realize until we were about to film this. And now
you need
I'm
to sue someone. Thrilled. You need to sue someone. I'm giving you clearance to do that. I feel like it's just disgusting. And that was a nice Pottery Barn couch.
There's been times that I like the bag will like fall out of my pocket on my way down to take Max out. And when he starts going and I don't have it, I'm mortified because the last thing I want is anyone seeing that I'm one of those people that doesn't do it. But like, I never even see anyone that doesn't pick it up. So I'm like, where are they? Are they just like going out and like 3 a.m. they go in like off hours so they don't have
You should start doing a midnight poop patrol just to see what's just going on out there. Yeah, you should get out there and then we should start arresting people. Citizens arrest.
Yeah, citizens arrest definitely would. Yep, that would go well.
Because seriously, that's just disgusting.
It's just like it's not that hard and there's a trash can at the end of the street. Like there's no excuse.
Oh my gosh, it grosses me out just thinking about the feeling and the sensation of stepping on it and like the squishness of it. So gross. Oh
God, we used to have a huge backyard when I was little and many a time barefoot.
So gross. Wow. Well, I'm sorry, Lil. I hope that you figure things out. Okay, so this is actually something that I don't think I've ever talked publicly about, but something that popped into my mind recently. And it's just the general topic of airplane etiquette. Not that people are really flying anywhere. But do you know what grinds my gears more than anything on planet Earth is when you're on an airplane, plane lands, the little dinger goes off, right? Allowing you to stand. Yeah. Oh, when people clap, I'm like, have you ever left your house? Please stop clapping. Then the answer is no, they've never left their house. Okay. So the bell goes off and that is a signal to be civilized, stand up, grab your overhead bag, and start filing out of the airplane in a very dignified fashion. I cannot deal with these freaking people who are in the back of the plane, grab their bag, and run to the front like the world is ending if they don't get off the plane first. You need to wait in line. Okay, there needs to be a civilized, dignified way that people exit a plane. I can't stand it.
If someone was like really in a hurry and they like booked it and like made an effort to get off first, honestly,
If they're running late or something. That's
sure.
Fine.
What I don't get is the people that are very impatient that are in the back of the plane that like they physically can't get off until everyone else gets off, but they're standing and they're like hovering. I'm like, just sit down. Like you're not going anywhere. Why?
Yes.
Like that's like people in lines that are like, they have to like wait, like right up next to you. And I'm like, you being closer doesn't physically, like you physically being more near the end of the line doesn't make the line go any faster.
No. And my favorite, like, similar thing is when you're driving and someone absolutely just has to get around you and has to pull around you. My favorite thing is when those idiots get around you and then you get stuck at a light. And I love to just glance over and give them a little, ha-ha, loser.
I'm you know laughing, what I mean? But, like, I, many a time, I feel like am that asshole. And I'm the one that's like, don't make eye contact. This is so embarrassing. Oh, my gosh. I'll like turn right and like add more to my route just so I don't have to be next to you at a light.
That's hilarious. But I am curious because I know in like different countries, there are different like norms for everything. I'm curious that if the concept of waiting in line to get off the plane is like something American that like we just do and think is normal.
I mean, it's,
but that in other parts of the world, maybe it's just like not annoying or rude to like, it's just customary, maybe. I don't know. I'm very curious.
I mean, I don't feel like it's like a voluntary option for us. It's just logistically that is, you have to wait.
It feels like it makes the most sense. Yeah. And actually, Chris was on a plane not too long ago. And he said, you know, obviously, like now you don't sit next to people. You're not touching people. There's space on the plane. And he said one of these people tried to get off the plane real quick. And a lady, like a mom, stopped him and was like, you need to back away from me right now. You need to wait in line. You need to stop moving. And I was like, dang it. We had to like wait for COVID to happen so that you could tell these people to sit the F down. Anyways.
Seriously. Well, one more note on plane people. Before COVID, I feel like now I hope that they're not selling middle seats. But when they were, if you get stuck in a middle seat, the people on the two other seats should just be like, oh, that sucks. Like they drew the short straw and not take both of your armrests.
Oh yeah.
Middle person should get both armrests. Lean to the other side people. I don't understand.
Oh my gosh. Not to mention like those seats like are very small.
Like a nudge off with someone.
Ooh, you
like,
have.
Wait till they're kind of asleep and then you're like kind of sharing it. And then you just get like firmer and firmer until they're like, fuck, fine, here.
Yeah, that could Melissa's be actually
nodding like, yes, me too.
That could be like a whole episode of this show could be like
plane
the strangest things that have ever happened to us on airplanes, because I know I've had a lot of weird experiences.
Do you want to just like make that this episode?
We can, but I'm actually excited about what we're going to talk about, but we haven't gone to that yet because as you know, Lil, we like to open up the show to our Overshare fam and invite them to be on the show. So for those of you guys who want to participate in all of this fun, we are asking you to give us a call at our voicemail because, yes, we have a phone line. It's 562-661-8729. And you need to leave us a voicemail with what you're over. It's got to be detailed, 3 minutes or less.
This is a group vent sesh. We want to know what's grinding your gears.
Please, please do. So with that thought in mind, let's just roll the tape. Who's called us this week?
Hi, Jocelyn. Hi, Lily. My name is Alexandra, and I'm so over being overly emotional lately. For a little background, I graduated from college in May 2020, and I'm 22 now, but I literally cry at almost anything nowadays. I never used to be a crier, but I cry at the smallest inconveniences, and I happy cry at anything that makes me somewhat happy. I think it's good to embrace how you feel, but I watched the Puss in Boots movie the other day and literally cried. I cry thinking about the future, my family, my dog, and even when I was eating Chipotle the other day, I almost cried. I'm honestly not even that sad. I would say that I'm a pretty happy person, but I just start crying at the littlest things nowadays. I don't know why, but I don't know how to stop, and I am super over it. I just want to have a stable mindset and not be so emotional, but in another way, I feel that this year has been so bad that I kind of have an excuse to cry, but yeah, that's what I'm over. Hopefully someone can relate. So I don't feel like a complete crybaby over here. But yeah, I love you both and hope everyone watching stays healthy and safe.
Oh my gosh, right, Puss in Boots coming in hot.
The eyes in that when he like stares at the camera and does the big.
Lily, anyway. do you feel like you've become more emotional as you've aged?
Yes, definitely. Well, first I was going to say, it could be because, like, you know, there's a pandemic going on,
right,
and it feels like the world's ending. And I will tell you that I had my first, like, wave of really bad anxiety and just like existential crisis, quarter life crisis, right after I graduated college.
Right.
So I don't know if I would say that was my most emotional time, but it was definitely my most like anxious and like, oh my God, what's going on? I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Which is nice to have people like Jocelyn around to.
Yeah. What
like,
helped you? I know you got your sweat medication, right?
Yeah. Literally. I was just thinking about it. I was like, I'm kind of sweating right now. It's weird. Cause for me, I think a lot of it ended up, this isn't confirmed, but I do think a lot of it is back related because like something's out right now and my hands are sweating. How it was back then, it was like, right. It was never necessarily, I was anxious and they were sweating. It was just like, okay, I can't really hold a mouse. And then that would make me more anxious. And then I would tense up and then I would just freak out. And I'd go in there to Charles's office, like crying. Like, I need to
I'd
wait.
Be like, just go home.
She's like,
just go
you
home.
Can write your story on Justin Bieber from home.
No, but what I was going to say is I feel like it might be worth it if you really are actually like experiencing like a flood of uncontrollable emotions, you might have something you might want to just like get your blood work, your hormone work done. You never know what's going on.
Well, so I was going to say, yes, this is an emotional time. And I feel like you're going through like a pivotal moment in your life
for
when
sure.
The world is shitty. So that could be it. Or maybe you're like me. I think mine could have been back related. And then also I was going to say what Jocelyn just did. And actually I just got started on hormone, like herbal supplements to try and balance mine out because I tweeted the other day. I was like, can you tell when I get my period? If you look at my walking, my steps tracker, it's like normal, normal, normal. And then it's like 4 days of like no movement at all. And yeah. I also saw a TikTok the other day that was a girl FaceTiming her boyfriend. And she's like, hey, babe, you know what? Yesterday, and then she just goes on this like long rant of or tangent of like, when I said that I hated everyone, and I wanted to move and I like hated my life and I cried and I yelled at blah, 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 and just like says all these horrible things that she did. And the guy goes, yeah. And she goes, I got my period this morning. And she shows his reaction and he's like, I knew it. And I have never related to something harder. I know Nicole Tang can vouch. I've had days where literally we're going to Coachella one of the years and I couldn't find a backpack that I wanted to bring.
Stop and it. You started crying.
Little mental breakdown. And then I got my period the next day and I told Nicole, I was like, hey, sorry, I was being a little bitch.
And that's the thing. It can change all throughout your life.
Uncontrollable too. So like hormones are crazy.
Absolutely. So I think it's worth getting that checked out. But I'll just say in general, I don't know when I hit this threshold of being like not a totally cold-hearted person. Because I used to be like absence of emotion.
You don't cry a lot.
No, but I do a lot more now. Chris is here. Come over here really quick. So Chris
this is my
husband. Really quick. I know you can't hear these people, but will you please interject and let these people know how often I cry? Just pop in right here.
Probably once every 5 to 7 days.
See? A lot.
Once every 5 to 7 business days.
Yeah. And sometimes it'll just be like, oh my gosh. Oh, like, oh my gosh. You know what got me good recently? Okay, this is so random. I saw that the Pope invited a bunch of NBA players to come to the Vatican. And I read the transcript and he was like, you know, you guys are fighting for social justice and I believe in you and you're using your platform for good. And I was like, I love the NBA. I love this. It's so nice. I started fully hysterically crying. And Chris was probably like, Oh my gosh.
See, and that's where I feel like the difference is. It's like there's the crying where it's like uncontrollable sad crying or like upset crying when you're like, you get so worked up and you don't necessarily know or over like a little thing, but you don't really know why. And you're just like, it's uncontrollable. But then I've more recently had the crying where it's just like anything kind of sentimental or sweet. Today I passed Justin Anderson posted, there was a teacher and he goes on Zoom and he's like, Is everyone's cameras off? Is that a thing we're doing? And he's like so confused and he's old. And they all turn their cameras on at the same time and they all have personal little note, like thank you notes that they wrote him. And he starts crying and he has to go get a tissue and it's just the sweetest thing I've seen.
See, so, but I think we are also very tapped into our emotions right now because of the world we're living in.
I think we're feeling more empathetic than normal, just normal, because you're seeing so much stuff that is affecting so many people and you're much more aware of it than normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I think that kind of crying, though, is completely normal and fine.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm crying like literally 70% of the day, maybe just go talk to your doctor and see what's up.
There's something different about the like pre-period cries where like I'll literally, it'll be like 7 p.m. and I'll literally just go to sleep because I'm like curled up in a ball on the couch. I don't have cramps or anything. It's just like my body is like, no, we can't.
You have emotional cramps. On. You have emotional cramps. You know what I mean?
So, I like that.
Alexandra, what we're saying is we relate. We get it. We hear you. We see you.
We're saying it's normal, but you maybe could fix it. So I would potentially get it checked out.
The other thing I would advise is don't watch any Pixar films because you will be a train wreck.
The mom always dies.
Always. Nothing animated. Stay away from animated. I would say
pets too.
Honestly, I was going to say you should just watch like Animal Planet, but I feel like that's emotional.
I just stick to serial killer documentaries.
Yeah, just take it to the next level. Anyways, if you guys are looking to vent in the same way that Alexandra did and share some emotional stuff with us or whatever it is that you're over, please give us a call. One more time, the phone number is 562-661-8729. 3 minutes or less. Leave us the dirty, dirty deets. We can't wait.
Don't be shy.
Lil, are you ready to jump into this episode?
Let's overshare.
So it is 2021. I could not be more happy. And I'm currently living in the past in 2020, but I'm ready. I'm ready to move on. And I'm ready to make some good decisions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, those.
I was trying to come up with a segue of like how to talk about the topic that we're going to be talking about because it is sort of niche and it was sort of inspired by this girl that I follow on Twitter, Doha. Does she follow you? She's an NBC. I think
Yeah.
So she was the one who tweeted me. Like, I don't know her in general, but she's awesome. She's like a real journalist.
I have a good segue.
Yeah.
2020 was, a rough year, to say the least.
Yeah.
So I think that we all probably partook in a little retail therapy to boost the dopamine levels.
Yep.
I maybe too much.
Partook too much?
So today we're going to talk about some of our biggest or most ridiculous quarantine splurges, but then also just take it back for like full lifetime splurges. Like what if we spent our money on that we're like, could have been something better.
Because I've actually noticed, and you might have seen this too, I know a lot of YouTubers, especially like younger ones, who are like, my best purchase of, at age 25, or like the thing I've spent the most money on, and then they reveal like that they can't stop buying like Dior bags. Or
it's
something.
Funny because I've seen the titles, but I've never clicked on them because I never want to know because I'm like, oh God, well, it's just going to make me feel poor. But I usually have or even just when people are buying expensive purses or like expensive jewelry, that doesn't compute to me because that's not something that I spend my money on.
You have and a I'm much sure more, you have a more expensive habit.
But exactly. But I, at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, how do you just have, like on a purse?
Like it's true. It's what? True. It's crazy. And you know, I love nice purses, but I never buy them. I'm always like, I'd rather go to Australia or something.
I would have to have such disposable income.
Yes.
And like just be like, oh well, whatever, sure.
I know someone, an influencer, and I'm not gonna say who it is to protect her identity. She has a full-on insurance thing taken out on her handbag collection because it's hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of handbags.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but do they don't depreciate in value if you
depends on the brand
don't use them,
which is why it's not a bad investment.
Weird that you would have it to begin with.
But if you buy like a classic Chanel bag, it's not going to depreciate. If you buy anything that's like classic Louis Vuitton,
try and get like something trendy or like.
But if, if you try to buy like, oh, I found this denim printed grocery style bag, forget about it. All your money is gone the second you walk out the door. So I hope you like it today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I can understand. I don't know. I would have to be making so much money to be buying a lot of expensive like clothes is one thing even, but then accessories.
Yeah, unless it's straight up just diamonds, I'm not here for it. Or some sort even of like then, gemstone.
Like, give me fake ones. Who cares?
But what have you been buying during, what was your biggest splurge?
During lunch or quarantine?
Let's start with quarantine. Biggest splurge during quarantine financially.
Probably, I'm like, how long have we been here?
Forever.
I think probably my monitor, my most recent monitor.
Oh my gosh, because you've had so many.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was like around 1,000.
For a computer monitor.
Yeah.
I have no idea how much they're even supposed to cost. So.
Well, and it's like huge. So it felt like, and it was on, I think I got like $300 off too.
See, so. Here you are doing what I do, just talking yourself into it. It was on sale. It was basically community service. I needed to take it off their hands. They needed the shelf empty.
I had been like kind of like peeking on Amazon for a while. And then I saw one and I was like, you know, I could. And then I got paid and I was like, and then all of a sudden like a month went by and I was like, oh, remember when you got paid and you spent it all? but I would say like something like that, though, I justify because I'm like, well, the reason I want it is because one, I'll be more excited about working on my computer. And two, because it actually has like benefits. Like I was getting a 4K monitor because I was screen recording a lot of stuff. So it would make the I'm not going to keep explaining to you because you're just going to nod and pretend.
No, but I know what you're saying. And but honestly, yeah,
it had legitimate reasons why it was going to be a beneficial purchase in my life. It wasn't just like, oh my God, that'll be fun. But at the same time, like, could I be editing on my laptop without any of the three monitors that collectively cost thousands of dollars? Absolutely.
But it's still a tax write-off. So I think, especially when you're self-employed, you have your own small business.
That's how I justify everything. I'm like, I'm investing. Gotta spend money to make money.
No, same. And especially at the end of the year, I'm like, oh, the year is coming to an end. I got to like make some purchases to get my taxes down as much as possible. And I just am like, what's my dream? What do I want? But I mean, it's not necessarily always the best idea.
I will say that I feel like, especially for like a computer and like editing or camera purchases, I do not necessarily like actively. I'm not like, okay, I bought that. I need to do this. But I do try and like, then like teach myself something, like learn something new to feel like I'm kind of doing something to deserve it.
No, totally. And I think you
can
easily
further my skill set.
Further your education, which actually, interestingly, so during quarantine, especially at the beginning, and I think you know this, I did a lot of education classes online. Like I was buying classes, like learning.
Do you belong to Skillshare?
Yes, I actually love Skillshare.
I do too. I actually was thinking about using it later.
We love Skillshare. They sponsor this show sometimes.
I love a good tutorial.
We are real life fans, okay, of what they're serving up, especially from Plant Daddy, the guy who does the plant class. Anyways, that's a whole other thing I 10 out of 10 recommend. This episode is also, I don't think, sponsored by them, but we love them. So I was investing in a lot of educational classes. I did actually one about podcasts before we launched this. I did one that was about Pinterest, which turns out has really worked out well for me because now I'm like a pinfluencer, I've decided. The third one is a class that I bought that was very expensive. I think it was like $2,000. And it was a class that teaches you how to create your own class so that like I could go out and be like, I'm going to create a class that's all online and I'm going to teach small businesses how to create video content that will push the needle of their business or whatever.
You paid $2,000.
I did.
For someone to tell you how to organize stuff that you want to teach people?
So much more than that. Okay. They teach you about the interfaces, all the different types of technology. They create a community for you. But then I got really busy because work picked back up. So I have not finished the class. I have finished the other two classes and I have implemented everything that I learned. So I feel like it was a good financial investment. But sometimes when I think about the fact that I haven't finished that class, it makes me like feel a little barfy inside.
It's funny you mention getting busy and not using something you paid for because I do have a tendency to sign up for things and go, I'll just cancel it a little bit.
And then never.
I collect it. I think it's probably every 6 months to a year. I'll go through all of my, I have two credit cards and my debit card. And I'll have to go through all three of them separately and scroll through all the charges to make sure, because I'll even have it where it's like, I'm getting charged for HBO Max on three different cards because I like forgot the password one night. I was high. And I was like, oh, I'll just make a free trial and I'll delete it. And then I don't. And I'm like, why do you have two accounts? You're so stupid.
Actually, you are the person who first told me about this. There's some service that you can get that goes through all your accounts to show you what like monthly recurring charges you have.
I had that, and it's, I feel like you can set it up to make it work well for you, but it didn't end. It doesn't categorize everything totally accurately. But yeah, it would tell like, oh, you spend this much on groceries, you spend this much on this. But my subscription thing is an issue. And one of the things that I bought, I think it was like, $400 maybe ish. And I actually think it auto renewed yesterday.
$400?
Yeah.
Something. What is it? Is it like Adobe?
No. And it's something that I want to use and I just like don't and am stupid. And I don't think it like expires. I think once you pay for it, you can use what you could have. It's called MoveView. And it's like I don't want to say fitness program, but like physical therapy kind of program. Where I followed their Instagram a long time ago, and their whole thing is like, their tagline is fix your shit. And they're just like obnoxious. And like some of their videos are a little too much for me even, but they're really just like, oh, you're doing it wrong. Like fucking do this instead. And like are very just like blunt and to the point. Yes. And like one of the first things they teach you, it's like little video sessions. You can join a Facebook group and then you can like get feedback from instructors or other people.
Involved.
It definitely feels worth it. And I think just seeing I would pay for what's on their Instagram. And I know what I did pay for is way more than what's on their Instagram. So I just need to actually use it.
That's cool. I've never heard of that. I think that's actually a good investment if you use it.
Yeah. It's made up by like physical therapists, chiropractors, and specifically they have introduced me to a lot of pelvic floor stuff, which I want to look into because no one ever talks about that. And I didn't even know it was a thing. And it seems like every video I see on it, I'm like,
pelvic floor is actually everything. Your core in general is like,
I didn't know how to take a deep breath until a year ago.
I know that's crazy. And I'm curious if people who like listen to this show, the only reason I know about how to breathe originally is because of singing in like my little elementary school choir. Well, they teach you how to breathe when you sing.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely never was singing. So
yeah. So basically, just for you guys who don't know, when you take a breath in, your body's not supposed to get smaller. It's supposed to get bigger.
Your stomach is supposed to go out.
It's supposed to balloon.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like you breathe in and your stomach balloons out first. And then after that is your diaphragm filling up with air. Then you can fill up your lungs too. I would fill up like just like the upper part of my lungs. And my chiropractor would be like, that's your deep breath. Are you joking? Like, what do you mean? And I'll take deep breaths. And then I guess when you breathe it out, he said to like, it's almost like contract. You're pushing it out with your abs.
It's almost like you're trying to like poop it out.
But
or like give birth
opposite.
To it. Like, yeah.
But it's like you're pushing it up and out.
Yes.
And I'll take like two deep breaths while I'm laying down and have like if you're watching, you get a nice preview. I'll have like my hips like, oh, this is not a good angle. Hips like out. And I'll take one deep breath like this. And it will pop things and realign
my
spine without even having to.
That's very interesting.
Almost like it is popping. It's like something's expanding from the inside and it's like moving my hips back into place because everything's been like.
Breathing, I'm telling you, it's a big deal. It's going to be a big deal in 2021.
I would love to do. This is off topic, but in 2021, when we can do anything with people again, I would love to go to some kind of like breathing
academy,
like breath work, like retreat.
Yoga. A lot of yoga studios do stuff like that. And breath is so wild. If anybody out here has never done yoga or like anything, they always talk about like breathing and how important it is to breathe correctly. I've walked into yoga classes before and I am a person who's freaking cold all the time. I'll walk into yoga and they'll just start leading you in like a breathing technique. Next thing I know, I'm sweating just from breathing. Correctly.
You need to watch Yes, Theory did a video with him, but he
I want you to date one of them so bad. Please. Yes, Theory, if you're listening or any Yes Theory fans.
No one's listening.
Oh my gosh.
Someone actually commented on one of my videos. They thought I would be cute with someone from Good Mythical Morning, and I meant to look him up. That does their food stuff. I guess he likes fast food.
That's what we're going to be investing in 2021. Anyway,
Yes Theory has a video with Wim Hof, and he's like, his nickname is the Iceman, and he has broken all these records, but the ones that really were crazy to me, specifically because I had learned how much breathing affects your body and like how anxiety can just contribute to chronic pain and stuff, that he, I want to say, I don't know if they for sure say it's Ebola, but they like inject him with a virus and he
heals himself
and meditates his way to health.
Honestly, I know it sounds totally stupid, but I believe it. I believe it.
I think it's not, the concept of your body being able to heal itself is not crazy. It's just that you need to be able to give it the conditions for it to do so. And I think that we're like never taught how to breathe properly, slash he figured out something that doesn't feel natural, but then.
That's why we need to like send all of our future children to like some really like forward thinking schools where like kindergarten is just all about playing and breathing. That's all they do.
I think all schools need to have ergonomic specialists come in and like teach them like how to sit at their desk and stuff.
Absolutely. I think that is a very good idea, especially moving forward as people are only going to be on computers and devices more more.
Another splurge, which I think I bought it right before the new year.
Are you going to talk about that amazing chair you bought?
Amazing? You mean my $1,200 chair that...
I can't believe you bought a chair that cost $1,200.
But I sat on it in the store. I went to a store. This was definitely way pre-pandemic because Lisa and I went into the store and just like were browsing. But it was called Relax the Back. And I've always seen those stores. And I'm like, I've never been in those. What do they have? I thought it was like a mattress store. No, they have like it literally was like a gold mine. I'm like walking, I'm like, this is my heaven. Back tools everywhere.
I used to be highly featured there in my modeling days. Bed modeling.
Yes, Jocelyn is in some bed modeling photos. It's great.
Pillows and things. It was just me cuddled up.
You look so relaxed.
Continue.
So I sit with the lady working there was helping someone. So Lisa and I were like, okay, we'll just like test them out. So I start sitting them and literally I think the cheapest chair in the store was $1,200.
That's crazy.
The first one I sat in was like 2000, I think. And I sat down and I was like, this is amazing. is this what sitting is supposed to feel like? And then, she ended up showing me the one, cause also like I wanted it to kind of look not cute, but just like kind of match a little bit.
Of course.
So I end up trying this one. And the biggest thing that was weird is that they're really close to the ground. I feel like you don't realize like if your legs are supposed to be like your knees are just supposed to be at a right angle and feet on the ground. So like in order to do that, you're supposed to be pretty low and most chairs don't do that. So it's like you're low on the ground. Then they also have a little foot, like a rocking footrest that so your feet are like slightly
forward
and it takes all the pressure off when you're actually sitting in it right and everything's aligned and I feel good. It's perfect. It takes the pressure off the right places. But when you're editing and especially like when you're holding the mouse and you're like looking at the screen, you just out of habit and just being there a long time, I think just start to lean certain ways. It's not a chair that is comfortable at all if you are not so perfectly sitting
What's
in it.
What's the return policy like? Have you already missed the deadline to return it?
I ordered it online. I tried it in the store and then I ordered it online so I could get a different color. And I thought it was going to be a game changer. And now I think I'm going to like blow up the medicine ball I have and use that instead.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know. I always am super skeptical about all that kind of stuff. Honestly, and I don't think I've ever bought anything that is that expensive as far as furniture.
It was kind of like, it couldn't be that much and not be
amazing. It should be amazing.
Like, and to see how much all the other ones were, I'm like, well, this is on the lower end of the expensive ones, but like still, like that's, if you're going to invest that much in a chair, that feels like it should be, no. But I also want to try one of those ones that, like, you sit on, like, the ops, like, it's like almost like you straddle it and sit,
oh, yes,
like, that's almost like a saddle, like a horse.
Yes.
That feels like that would make sense because I just always will find a way to, like, lean down, like, sink down and slouch. But if I was, like, forced to
sit up very, very straight.
If I had no backrest at all, then maybe.
I feel like we're really just, like, the two most boring people of all time. I invested in education. You invested in a chair. Where literally people are hoping that we're going to say that we, like, bought a small island off the coast of Tahiti.
I mean, we're like, I bought a chair. If you want to, I'm like, how many times? We could do some calculations. I feel like I buy a new sweatshirt every single time I go to Target.
Because it just brings you joy.
It does. And they're like $18 usually. And I'm like, oh, well, I mean, then I don't have to do laundry again today.
Exactly. But I'm curious. Like, over the course of your entire life or your entire young adult life, mm-hmm. what is your biggest and most regrettable splurge? And it could be like a vacation.
I was just going to say, I think the most stuff I spent my money on in the last, well, first of all, I never had money to be splurging and doing anything extravagant or crazy with until like 2 years ago, probably. I finally was like, wow,
I can buy clothes.
I remember walking into a clothing store one day. I was like, oh my God, I've never gone shopping for clothes where I actually had money. I missed that. it was after Quit Era. It was probably like the year I left Clever when I started getting occasional brand deals. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I already had my salary, but then I'd get like a little
bump
on top of it. Electronics are the only things that like, would break into the thousands, I think. And then I have in the last few years, you know, I'm not bougie at all. I'm like actually one of the most low maintenance people ever. Bring me to like a gas station, give me a like microwavable cheeseburger and a soda and I'm fine. But I do feel that it is always worth it to, if you have it, to pay for convenience. I'm a big proponent of paying for if something's going to like make you not enjoy something as much, or if it's just going to like just make it that much fun, you know, why not?
Well, you did fly private to my wedding.
Yeah. So that's like, so I would say maybe I got a little carried away in the last like 2 years, especially then when coupled with my back pain. So I would use that as an excuse to get first class, not as an excuse. It was like, I couldn't fly unless I got first class because I needed to be able to lay down. I would say my problem is the Airbnbs.
Oh, Lily likes a nice aesthetic Airbnb.
And then I use the tax write-off excuse because I'm like, oh, well, I'll just vlog it. And then it will feel like it's a work purchase. I think the one for your wedding wasn't that much, but was definitely unnecessary. I think something that I accidentally splurged on was my friend Sarah's wedding in Cabo. They sent the rates and it was like, you know, they give like special rates for
weddings.
If you're bringing yes. like an entire hotel's worth of people, right. they're going to give you a discount. Yes. Well, didn't see the small print. The rates were amazing. And I was like, shit, this is a nice hotel. That's all we have to pay. I'm Tuesday through Sunday. Let's do a vacation. Plot twist. There was secret fees. That was the room fee. I didn't know that there's also like a resort fee and like a human being fee, and it was suddenly I got charged, and it was I think at $3,000.
Oh my god!
And I'd gotten a lot of room service, and I paid for it, and then people would Venmo me, like they would come to my room and then Venmo. But like the food wasn't that much, and we didn't eat that much in the room. So I'm like, how much room service do we? Oh my god! Did everyone? What's going on? And I called the hotel, and I'm like angry, thinking they charged me the wrong amount. No, I agreed to that. I'm just dumb and didn't read the contract.
Always read the fine print, people. So always read the fine print.
At the end of the day, it wasn't like a, oh, what am I going to do? I'm screwed. But
yeah. And I would say like for me, I am a big saver. I don't really spend very much money. The only things I've ever, I would say, invested in as far as investing in my happiness and joy, that I have traveled a lot to some really amazing places. Chris and I really, really splurged on our honeymoon, which was like the most worth it experience of my entire life.
I guess we never really talk about that. Do you guys like split it?
What do you mean? Paying for it?
Work, yeah.
You know what? I can't remember because that was during like the abyss of what it is to pay for a wedding, you know? So we're already hemorrhaging so much money really recall like who paid for what. And my parents did give us a really generous amount of money for our wedding, which I try to get them not to do because I'm like, I'm 36 or 37 years old.
Okay, but that's always like, I remember growing up having it always be like, oh, because it's the bride's parents traditionally
yes,
are supposed to.
Yeah, pay. Well, whatever that means.
Well, but I literally remember growing up being like, well, fuck. Like, what if they don't have any?
Well, I think that's like an antiquated concept anyways, especially as people get definitely married when they're actual adults. But regardless of your situation or your budget, I still think weddings are incredibly shockingly expensive.
Well, that's because you add the word wedding and it's like times five.
And we had a very low key wedding. I felt it was very nice. But weddings are pricey. Anyways, that was probably the biggest investment I've ever made was
wait,
the money
that
the we
honeymoon.
Spent on that.
Are you willing to, will you reveal? You can cut it out.
I don't,
if you don't want
really.
To.
No. It's fine. I mean, whatever. Because I work hard and I'm
yeah, no,
in my 30s
I'm just
and I pay
like,
for
so
it myself.
Was your honeymoon was
well,
Africa?
The reason. Yeah. So we went to, for our honeymoon, an island called Mauritius for 7 days or 6 days, which is an island off the coast of Madagascar, which is off the coast of East Africa. And it's kind of like a Bora Bora location for people that live in Europe. So it's just very tropical. You scuba dive. There's not like a lot to do there, but it's more of a relaxing place. We wanted to go there because really what we wanted to do on our honeymoon was go to Malawi on safari, but we didn't want to go straight there because we were exhausted. So we ended up flying to Mauritius and staying there just to like relax, hang out, do nothing, whatever for 6 days. Then from there, we flew to Malawi, which Malawi only has one airport in the whole country.
Sorry to interrupt. Did you yes. not vlog any of this?
No, we have footage. We've just never like really
why,
released
why
any of it.
Why have I not edited it?
I don't know. You're welcome to,
I'm like,
though.
That sounds
okay.
delightful.
So we
because I was thinking, I was like, oh, I loved your Tulum footage.
It was so fun. So we went to Malawi and we did safari there. And then after that, we went to Lake Malawi, which is the biggest lake in Africa. It's almost like an ocean-sized lake. I mean, that's what it looks like. You can't tell it's a lake. And we stayed there for another like 5 days. It was a very long, very opulent, very over the top trip. And I do remember when I was looking into different safari companies, listen, the range of pricing can be like,
how much of this did you plan this whole trip yourself? Or
yeah.
was it?
Yeah.
So
and
you
actually,
didn't use like a travel agent or
no,
anything.
But I worked with a PR firm because part of it was gifted to us, which was very generous. Like, I think I got a lot of my trip gifted because not many people travel to Malawi and many
they're
of,
like, yes, we'll take it.
Well, and one of the companies I work with that I work with on the PR side a lot represents clients that are very much trying to like rebuild areas in Africa that have been completely poached out and start trying to like bring more local people from the community in to have jobs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and that was something that was important. I didn't want to go somewhere where it was like ruining the environment or the local economy. But let me tell you, the range for safari can be like $500 a day to like, there are rooms. Someone sent me a room that was like, oh, this room is $10,000 a day.
Well, that's, and you can like, I don't know where Giraffe Manor is, but
yes,
I've that's
expensive.
Gone there. Like, I know that's really expensive, but like, could you imagine, guys, there's a place called Giraffe Manor where it's a, like a bed and breakfast kind of a house you stay in where there's just casual giraffes that come
poking
up
their
and,
heads
like,
in.
They just like pop their head into the window and say hello.
Yeah. And that's how it was for us. Like we had just animals. We were not allowed to leave our room, our tent, without a guide coming to pick us up. And it was just
did
the
they
most
have, like guns and
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
there's like lions running
yep.
around.
Yep. We saw lions. We saw all of the big five except rhinos. The big five are the five animals that are most likely to kill you if they see you.
I literally was like, you said it. And all I could think of was the big three from This Is Us.
Yeah. So we saw almost all the big five. We had an amazing experience. We ate, we drank. I had not taken a vacation that was longer than 5 days in 7 years. Well, so this was like a big deal, like, for me.
Even then, like, vacation, like, have you maybe had, like, I guess you go on your, like, girls trips, but like,
yeah, but not real
vacation.
No.
Like,
it was the best invest, the biggest splurge I've ever made, for sure. But so,
yeah, what did it run you? How much was the safari, and then how much total do you think the whole
thing
was?
I don't remember individually. I'm just going to give like a number. And this is crazy because I don't spend money at all. So
I kind of been just curious. I'm like, what do I have to go do this?
And this is for both of us, by the way. And also keep in mind, a lot of my trip was comped because they wanted to bring awareness to what they were doing. I want to say like low end, like 10... like somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000.
I really
probably.
Made a face like, that's not that much.
No, it's a lot of money.
I could ever go on a trip this. No, but I was thinking you were going to say like 20.
Yeah, I think it was between $10,000 to $20,000. And that includes flights. And also getting to Malawi specifically is very hard because, like I said,
there's... Was there like 4 different planes?
Yeah. So, and driving, we had a driver that drove us. We had to take a boat to get to one of the places that we were going to. It was very, very remote.
Just because I don't like planning and feel like I like to be able to get somewhere and like, you can just call an Uber. Like if your ride fell through, it's no big deal. That sounds like a situation. Like if someone drops the ball, then you're screwed.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So we had amazing people taking care of us the whole time we were there. But like, I'm the kind of person who won't order Postmates because I'm like, that's too expensive. But then after all these years, and that's what happens when you get married, when you're older, you're able to save your money and go on a treat yourself experience of a lifetime. If I had gotten married when I was like 22 or something, I would have been honeymooning at the Holiday Inn by the airport, like for sure. So no regrets. The best money I've ever spent. And then I think besides that, the stuff I spend most money on is like juice and workout classes.
Yeah. Oh, so. I guess like consistently what I spend the most money on would be weed.
Oh, yes. Is that a tax write-off yet?
I wish. Could it be? Like, it definitely helps.
Well, it's a medical cost,
my
right?
Things would not be getting done if I did not have it. it's funny because I feel like that used to be something, especially right out of college, that if, and the number one, like if someone, if you have a friend or like a parent that doesn't want you to smoke, the number one thing they'll go after is like, well, how much money are you spending on that? Okay. But also like, for example, in quarantine, if we back up, I have not been drinking since
at all,
like literally the entire year. So if you compare it to going out, especially, so like when I was 22, I definitely wasn't, I'm trying to think, I'm like, I probably smoked more actually then, but I probably, I don't know. I consistently can buy it now. Like I never have to be worried that I'm not going to be able to get any, or like there was times like back in the day where it's like, there's one little nug left and that better last me a week. Otherwise I'm screwed. But it just feels like something that's like, yeah, it does seem like a lot if you look at it, like you spend that on weed, but it's like, as part of like a daily thing, like it'd be no different than like getting a Starbucks.
Exactly. Exactly. And
or
I think
like, it, and then I think with drinking, going out to a bar, oh my God, the amount of money, I only drank beer and I spent a lot of money when I would go out, because then you get drunk and then it's Monopoly money. So then you'll just spend anything.
How freaking true is that? It's crazy. I feel like at least our splurges of our lives are more interesting than our quarantine splurges. So I'm actually kind of impressed with that.
I will say my favorite splurge that people I think would judge me for, and you give me yours next, actually, and then we can do our
share. What people would judge me for?
Something that you felt like it was worth it, but other people would judge you for?
Honestly, I think the thing people would probably find most ridiculous is like I don't do it anymore because I'm on a big like saving spree right now. But I'm a big saver. I save like all my money. That's the only reason I like have been able to like buy a condo or whatever. But the juice is really stupid. I have literally at our old office, shared office, had like $200 worth of juice delivered just for myself before. And that's too much.
I guess if you got the ingredients,
I judge
could
myself.
You
yes.
Make it?
Yes, I could probably
and would
for
it be cheaper?
Probably would cost $2 total for supplies that would last me for the rest of all time.
Because there is sometimes that I feel like it does, like, yeah, it's a lot, but also if you bought all the ingredients, it would still be a lot too. That's like why I don't cook.
Yeah. So I think the main ways that I always tell people they can save money is just cooking at home. I would say that's the number one way.
I'm like, my advice is just eat fast food because it's very cheap.
That's actually true too. What's your most embarrassing?
Not embarrassing, but just like people will be like, really? The amount of money I think I've spent the last, not this year because COVID, but the 2 years before at Coachella.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think a lot of people are probably under the impression that somehow that's paid for. Well, especially the most recent year, it definitely was not, because the two vlogs that I posted afterwards, I included all of the music and they got demonetized immediately. So when I think of it like that, it really was not a good investment per se.
But it was a good investment in the joy of life, which is something not to be taken lightly. If you can make smart decisions financially,
the money I spent for it isn't, I guess, the shameful part that people would turn their nose up at. It's that it's just Coachella in general, and it feels like you would do that for Coachella.
But it's your Christmas. Really, it's basic. Literally your Christmas.
But yes, my explanation is that I feel like specifically that has made itself pretty much like my biggest.
Exactly. Your biggest annual. Yes.
And I think the reason is because it's something that like all other YouTubers and like internet people are very much usually there. And I'm getting a good social media engagement while I'm there. So it feels like there's some kind of work aspect, but because everyone's there and because everyone knows that everyone's there, it feels like there's this like pressure lifted that like, I don't have to do any, like I've nothing I have to do this weekend. I can just like kind of turn my brain off and everyone just is okay with that. I feel like not that I couldn't do that other weekends throughout the year.
No, I think it's okay. I think that's okay. You got to do that sometimes. Well, I guess the moral of this story of me and Lily's secret spending habits is that both of us value tax write-offs associated with our jobs and life experiences, which I think are not bad investments, but probably also not the most exciting or fun to hear about when you're used to YouTubers and people being like, I bought a Lamborghini and then I bought a whole like line of handbags and then I bought some diamonds. So I apologize if you didn't learn anything revolutionary during this video or episode. Yeah.
No, I feel like this is more a glimpse into what actual adulthood. And I would say we're even so lucky and blessed to be able to said that we could
absolutely
afford any of these things and that we can get occasional discounts or something for shouting it out on top of that.
100%. Fortunate.
But at the same time, our spending is definitely not like, oh my God, this is my new Tesla. It's like, this is my Volkswagen lease that I spend $360 a month.
Something to be grateful for. But I feel like, actually, that is a great segue to our final segment.
So long, farewell. I hate us so much more now.
Okay, it's 2021. That is something that
How
should...
many times have we established that?
I'm excited about it. And
it's like we have to keep reminding ourselves because it feels like 2020 is staying forever.
I think that's something worth share-welling about in and of itself, but I will not. The thing that brought me most joy this week is actually, for those of you guys who are watching on YouTube, you can see this amazing sweatsuit that I have on. It is made of sweater material. It's shorts and a sweater. And I'm absolutely obsessed with the concept that loungewear effectively for the future from here on out is all that we're wearing, and that people are starting to make like sets that look like pajamas, but that can definitely be worn out and about town. I wore this all over the place today.
Literally, I could go out. This is just a sweatshirt, but if I had matching sweatpants, if I went out in just a sweatshirt and sweatpants and my Nikes, I guarantee you I would get at least one compliment of like, oh, I like your outfit.
Yeah,
in what
it's great.
World have we ever been able to like monochromatic sweatsuit look? Yes, sign me up. I love this.
We've earned it though. That is the thing that 2020 gifted us, is the death of clothing prisons. Like anything that's tight and uncomfortable is gone. It's canceled. And but we I'll earned say, that.
It just reinforces my habit of buying sweatshirts. They're all very useful. I've not, my wardrobe is actually pretty pandemic perfect, but.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the other thing that brought me joy, which it's December 10th as we're shooting this and filming this recording, is the headline about this woman who I think is allegedly a spy from China who managed to sleep with like the whole entire government of Northern California successfully.
And I love how you say managed, like that's like a difficult job.
It's actually true.
That sounds like, that's, I mean, it's a lot of work, but like, it doesn't sound like it'd be necessarily hard.
But we were talking about it before we started recording the podcast, and our producer, Melissa, was like, I'm pretty sure that is an episode of Scandal. So yet again, I'm just saying that we need Olivia Pope to just come on in at any point in time and fix all of our problems. Who is the real Olivia Pope that is like working in our government
Clearly
right now?
No one, because there's no fixer handling like the Four Seasons debacle.
The Four
Seasons. Like, could you imagine like a storyline going on in that show of any of the stuff that has happened?
No, it's too COVID. Ridiculous.
It's so like, no. Rudy Giuliani, his like hair makeup leaking down his face. You couldn't write that because it would seem unrealistic.
That's actually true. It's so like,
oh, God,
2020.
This is so far-fetched. And it's like, no, this is actually happening.
Lil, what brought you joy this week?
I hadn't been on TikTok in a while, and I decided to open it back up. And I landed on several different worlds within TikTok. Are so the algorithm just blows my mind. It's like I feel like I have a different experience every time I go on it, which sometimes I would prefer if it was like it would stay the same, because there's someone's like I'll get to a few TikToks and I'm like I would like to stay here forever. For example, stoner TikTok, big fan. ADHD TikTok, I feel seen for the first time. I'm like, wait, I didn't know that. Oh my God, enlightening. Have you heard about prison TikTok?
Absolutely. Heather McMahon, who also has a podcast, she is the one who alerted me to prison TikTok and a lot of other just facets of TikTok that I had no clue existed. I didn't realize that like phones were so allowed when you're behind bars.
I thought the same. My sister had sent me some a while ago and I had written it down as like, I eventually want to do some kind of show where I like just do like little investigative formal things. And like, that's a perfect one. Cause I'm like, that's so random. And like, what? I need to know more. I watched, I think maybe Vice did a thing on it recently. And I passed some of them when I was on TikTok last night, which reminded me, but they interviewed some of the prisoners that were doing it. And they said that, I guess the phones themselves aren't that uncommon, but it's just like people willing to use them. And like, that was my biggest question, was how are they able to post these? Like, aren't they going to get in trouble? But I guess by the time the prisons find out,
it's too late.
They're out already.
Interesting.
But it's insane. It was just saying it's like they asked, like, why do you think it's so popular? And it's just like it's bridging the gap between a world that you only really ever see in movies and just like how TV portrays prison, that it's so crazy to see. Like, he's like, making like they finagle. I don't know how they should all be inventors by the time they get out, because they are so good at making all this stuff. But it brought me joy. Just
very
to,
interesting. TikTok is a treasure trove. I need to dive in a little bit deeper, because the things I do see bring me pure joy, which is hard to find elsewhere on the internet, quite frankly. So
I also like the like occasional sappy ones that you'll pass, where it's like someone's like giving you like a motivational pep talk. And I'm like,
yes,
thank you.
I totally agree. More TikTok in 2020, more overshare in 2020, more of you guys in 2021. Oh, well, Jesus. Already I'm screwing up this year, but what's new, guys? Anyways, I think this episode is over. I just want to say
I think so, too.
Thank you guys for listening to this.
Yes. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you. I guess it's, should I say it's 2021 one more time in case we weren't sure. Yep. I was treating this like an end of the year thing, but I guess we already had that. I was going to say thank you for listening all year long. And make sure that if you do listen and you haven't like left a comment or rating, that you do that.
And subscribe, nice. Please.
And subscribe. And then also call in and vent your feelings about something that you're super over, so we don't feel like we're just complaining.
Please do. Sharing really is caring. And with that, God. Our friends, we bid you share well.
Justin, give them the phone number.
Oh, again? All right.
Just in case to be safe.
I just felt like I was really killing it with that outro. It's really great. The number is 562-661-8729. We need what you're over in 3 minutes or less, and get detailed with it. And with that, this episode is actually over now. So goodbye.
Yeah. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.